Have you ever had questions that you wish you had your very own on-call pediatrician? Well, guess what? We are going to have a real pediatrician as a regular guest on the Dad Podcast. So if you have a question you have always wanted cleared up, please send it to questions@thedadpodcast.com. Because Dr. J wants you to stop Googling that shit and find out the real deal Homiefield answers from a real deal Homiefield pediatrician. So ask us at questions@thedadpodcast.com. I'm here to tell you about Naptime Radio. It's a show for moms and dads, and these chicks are super cool.
Mac Daddy and Damia.
And they want you to listen.
Yes, we want it. We want it so bad.
I know you do. Heather and Kate offer helpful info for parents with their power naps. Oh, and did I mention, these chicks are sexy as hell, y'all.
Let's ride that train.
All I need is a ticket.
Let's eliminate one article of clothing for one meal. How about that?
Oh, now it's a party. So go to naptimeradio.com or click on the logo available on our site.
Nailed it!
I said it. Listen to me. Listen to my words as they vanish. Let's go chase the sun.
Hello and welcome to the Dad Podcast. This is episode number 31. I hope everybody has already experienced a good and happy new year and a good Christmas. However, you are hearing this in the past, if that makes any sense. In podcast timing, this is well before Christmas. And as you could see in the description, Andy Forrester is the guest, a comedian based out of Raleigh, North Carolina. How are you, Andy?
I'm good.
Thanks for having me.
Oh,
thank you for being on the show. A little bit of backstory. I worked with Andy exactly 1 year ago here with Mr. Heath Heitch. That seems to be our annual thing. We come through Raleigh and do the kids show and all that stuff. And I said, Andy has two daughters. And I go, hey, we should have you as a guest on the Dad Podcast. And then cut to a year later. And Andy comes to pick us up to take us out to lunch. And I'm like, hey, was I a dick? And did I say, hey, let's do the Dad Podcast and then not ever call you ever? And Andy's such a nice guy. He was like, oh, you know, it's no big deal. Whatever.
I wouldn't. He said, did I have a dick move? I'm like, I wouldn't call it that. It's not a dick move. You know, you're a busy man. You live in L.A. and I live in the sticks. So, no, you're good. I don't see why anybody would ever be like, you know what? I got to call that fat guy I met over in North Carolina. We got to do this.
But here's the problem. The problem is, and I think it's the nature of the beast of the business that we do, is that it's going to sound like I'm blowing a ton of sunshine, but I mean this with all sincerity. Heath and I were talking about this, is that Andy's like one of the coolest guys, just a really fun guy to hang around, you know? So you come across these guys, you meet them on the road, and it's a weird thing where you feel like you're friends, like, for that week.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You feel like you're never going to not talk to each other.
It's a camp.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, this is so great. Man, it's so great to
We each sign t-shirts.
Yeah.
There we
sign each other's crack.
Yeah, that's right.
Hilarious. Kid is what we say. And that stands for keep in touch for anybody graduated high school before yearbooks were invented. And so then you leave, and all it takes is for you just to not be in front of each other, and you almost completely forget about each other until you land.
Yeah.
When you land in that city, it never fails that I will pick up a phone and go, oh, I have friends here. I should contact them and be like, hey, you know. And so that's –
he knows good places to eat.
And, I'm curious. Yeah. Did Heath contact you before Monday?
He did not. I think
he did not.
He contacted me either Wednesday or Thursday.
Okay, good.
And he said, are you in town?
Yeah.
And fortunately, I was in town due to – I had to be here for family and whatnot. So it worked out great because I was like, I knew y'all were coming. I actually wasn't sure if you were coming, but I kind of assumed you were.
Yeah.
And so I knew y'all were coming, and I'm like, sweet. I try to get to the shows if I'm not out of town performing myself or something like that. So, but you know, when you aren't performing, you're typically your wife's not a big fan of you.
No.
Leaving the house to just go watch Comedy.
Well, this is why I'm excited to have you on the show, Andy, because you are my doppelganger. Or doppelganger is not the right term. It's like we're more like in the Parent Trap.
Yeah.
Like you're like we were twins separated at birth and we live on opposite coasts.
Yes.
Because you are a stay-at-home dad when you're not doing stand-up
that
comedy, as am I.
Yes.
But here's how you are a doppelganger. I have two boys. You have two daughters.
I have two girls.
Yeah.
I have a 10-year-old and a 5-year-old, both for sale. So if anybody's interested, get in touch with me, comicbiga.com. That's my website.
I really wanted to be.
They're on eBay. So just
comicbiga.com/kids on eBay.
Yeah, that's right. Just check them out. They're good kids. They're good kids. They're just not working for us, but they're good kids.
They got skills. You have like resumes for them.
Yeah, the skills are just. Yesterday, I think I told you, we went to lunch yesterday, and I was like, I got to go to my kids' daycare to. Because I can't watch them all the time.
it's not good for their health.
Yeah, it's not good for them. It's not good for me. And so she had a performance at the daycare. And, you know, a daycare performance. My favorite line was they said, oh, we can't wait to see the babies. And I was like, yeah, I don't know if that's going to, you know, what are the babies going to do? So, which is apparently just sit in a big cart and everybody stare at them. But my daughter, who's fine.
Hold on. Because you said this. We went to lunch you were going to this. And you said, I can't wait to see the babies. But you hadn't seen what the babies were going to do.
So they have these. If you've ever seen a daycare, they have these wagons it's like a bus for kids that they'll walk. And like the kids need to go for a walk, but they don't walk yet. So it's like a stroller that'll hold 6 or 8 is what it is. And it's red. It's always red and it's huge. It's like 2 grocery carts long. It's huge. So they just rolled them up on the stage and the babies just drooled. And they're like, yay!
That was their performance. They didn't play music or anything?
They played music, but it's not
they didn't even do like the Muppet sticks and make their hands move?
That was awesome.
I know, right?
Awesome. So, no, it was.
We got to open a daycare of our own, Andy.
Oh, yeah. Daddy daycare. See, I can't believe nobody's thought of
that. We get Eddie Murphy in on this.
That's right. This is going to work out great. This is going to be awesome.
What? Oh, why can't I pull his name?
I know who you're talking about. Jeff Garland.
Yes, thank you.
Jeff Garland.
Jeff Garland was in Daddy Care. And I think Anthony Anderson was in the sequel, wasn't he, or something like that?
I think so. We shouldn't admit that we've seen this, but it's. But I, you know, at the same time, I shouldn't be ashamed because I like me some Eddie Murphy. And, I don't care.
My
5-year-old. So they do their bit. She's got a couple of lines. She's like one of the three kings or something, and she's got her lines memorized, and she's all excited. There's a couple of mouth breathers in the back, and she's maybe a little older than the other, so I shouldn't pick on them, but they're not really saying anything. So the end is near, and they play Feliz Navidad, or it's over, and they sort of like go out on a song, and every kid is standing perfectly still. My kid is breaking it down. Literally, she is like dancing up. One kid, all these kids on
like
stage.
Popping and locking. Like
popping and locking. She's doing like the windmill. Like everything she can do. She is just, she's got her hips shaking. She's throwing her hair around. And it is insane. And everybody's rolling. And every other kid on stage just kind of looking at her like, yep. Just staring at her like, I can't believe. And the funny, my wife told me this. She said that she talked to the teacher and she says, well, we practiced this yesterday. My daughter is not there on Thursdays, but she is there on Fridays. And when they practiced on Thursday, the director of the daycare said, well, is there anything we can do to spice this up? And they said, don't worry about it. It'll be good tomorrow. And they were like, why? Because Olivia will be here. And that's my daughter. And she was like, I don't understand. She goes, you just wait and see. And apparently when they had practiced this, she had done this every time.
So Wednesday rehearsal, she had done
that. Wednesday rehearsal, she was breaking it down. She was even doing it at home Wednesday or Thursday night. I'm like, what is the deal with her? She is just all
now,
over the
place. Now, when you're at home, just because I'm curious, when you're at home, do you think that that's part of the choreography that they've taught her? Or do you know your daughter
like,
that
– she literally broke into a dance and song at the dinner table, and I was like I didn't even put it together with, I bet this is part of the Christmas play because she was
– She does it.
She said, I'm breaking it down, and then later I put on some music – and she left to go use the bathroom. When she came back, she went up to my wife and says, Mom, I need you to put the music back on. I need to bust my moves again. So, and I know, I'm like,
what
she's,
a, cool
she's a plethora of one-liners that are just like, you know, just the stuff she says is just kill. I need to bust my moves. I'm like, you shouldn't even know what, like, you don't even know who Young MC is. Like, I saw him at concert. I saw him at concert with Milli Vanilli, and you shouldn't know that. And I shouldn't tell people I've seen Milli Vanilli, but it was horrible. And so anyway.
Horrible in a good way. Well, here's the thing, too. Like, this is this makes me think so many things, is that, first of all, the director of the preschool,
right,
easily the most judgmental person in the world. And deservedly so, because I just feel like her day is filled with her telling things about other, like, telling things about your children that everybody is, like, unaware of.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Like, it's just, and I feel like it, I'm a very involved parent. Like, I'm involved in my kids' lives and everything, but somehow she has
she's going to the other classes going, well, she's not like the tards in the 4 or 5 class.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's like... Well, I just feel like she knows things about my kid that I don't know, it makes me look like I stick him in the minivan and then I throw him away, and then I go, hey, listen, Daddy's gonna pop on the PS3 and you entertain yourselves with whatever you got to do. Try not to make it knives.
I think that's literally the belief. And I show up in shorts and a t-shirt all year long, and they always are like,
my God, you and I are the same person, Andy.
I show up in shorts and t-shirt all year long, and the teacher talks to my daughter at me by going, she does, Olivia, does your dad ever wear winter clothes? And I just want to look at her and go, you're lucky I'm not here in my pajamas, which is a lot less than this.
So buck up, bitch.
That's always my favorite.
Why don't you try to look at me in the fucking eye, whore, huh?
Yeah.
Pay you $1,000 an hour to be disrespectful.
Well,
like
that. She's not ugly about it. She's making jokes at the, I mean, and I'm just like, dude, if you were this big, like, you would just wear shorts. And I mean, I'm not enormous.
Thank
but
you,
I'm
Andy. Thank you.
You know, I'm warm. I'm a warm-natured person.
Do me a favor. Talk into the microphone. When you turn your head,
I'm
going to
put my head up.
Yeah, don't do that.
No, I'm warm. I'm warm. I apologize. I do move a little bit, but I'll try to keep it on the. I also feel like I know I'm loud, so I feel like
fine.
I feel like
you and I are the same exact person, Andy.
I feel like being on the microphone, I'm like, I'm probably too loud. You know, I shouldn't.
No. Fuck Bill Glass. I should have been doing this show with you all the
time. He's a nice fella.
But here's my point, is that I do. I'm the same way. But here's the difference. You're even more manly than I am because you live in North Carolina where it does get cold. Like, I've had to suck it up to put on cargo pants. That's what Daddy wears a t-shirt and cargo shorts year-round in Los Angeles because it doesn't get cold there.
Yeah. Well,
if it does, it's in the morning, and then after 11 a.m., all of a sudden it's like, oh, it's 70 degrees, people think that just because there's no leaves on the goddamn trees, that must mean it's cold. Well, no, asshole. You live in Southern California. This isn't real fucking cold. Take off your North Face parka and your goddamn scarf. Are you fucking kidding me? You live in sunny California and you're wearing a fucking scarf? They walk around, Andy, they're in goddamn Chicago. And I just feel like I want to bust in people from the real Midwest that have survived fucking blizzards and actually seen a negative degree temperature register on a thermometer somewhere and just let them punch them in the fucking face, all these pansies that walk around, because I'm sick and tired of them giving me shit. Like, does he know it's winter? Do you know it's winter? Like, and I wore pants one day. I can't even remember why. One of the guys at the apartment was like, well, look at Justin. He's in pants. Like,
America.
Exactly.
Well, as long as you're not angry about it, Justin. And that's what's important. As long as you're keeping it even keel and you don't mind.
I do a lot of yoga.
A lot of yoga, a little bit of yogurt. One of the, you know, whatever. It's all good.
Wait, there's a difference between the two?
I wouldn't do either. I won't do yogurt. I won't do yoga.
I do the frozen yoga is what I do.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I've heard that people
better
do
than the hot yoga, apparently. That is literally the worst idea I've ever heard ever. Like
sweating your ass off stretching.
You know what you should try is some hot yoga. I'm like, yeah, I don't want to try anything with the word hot in it unless it's steak and cheese or pizza after that word.
Yeah.
And I really don't want to try it. Like, you want to exercise and then sweat. I'm like, I already do that. I can't fathom. Like, I exercise. I have to change my shirt right after I do it because it's completely wet. So are my shorts. So I'm like, hey, I got to change my clothes. I can't imagine going, you know what I should do is go in some place where they got the temperature turned up. I'm like, in my house, if somebody inches that thing past 72, like,
oh my God, I'm with you.
Feels
so
great
with you.
At 78. You know what it feels like? A sauna. Feels like a sauna to me. Like, it's very uncomfortable.
Can you imagine? Oh my God, Andy, I'm in love with you right now. I want you to know this because I finally have a brother.
This nude.
Now it's getting comfortable because
all right.
because I've set, you'll notice I have the temperature set to 68 degrees over
sweet.
There.
Yeah,
we're going to be just fine, you
the
and
moment
I.
Moment you walk into a hotel room, you're like, well, let me see where, like, they did a survey on that recently. Like, what do men check the first thing they do? Like, the women will check the bathroom, the bedding. I'm like, first thing I do is, how does this air work?
Yeah. How do I get
it? Can I get it on? It needs to stay on. Yeah. I need that fan running. Yeah. I bring my own fan just in case, but I need that fan running. I know. I love traveling the country, and the first thing I pull out of my suitcase, here's my fan, and here's my blanket I take with me everywhere I go. I call it a whoopee, but I'll call it a blanket for you people so you don't think I'm weird.
So, no, and it's because Heath has been giving me a hard time. I left my sweater in Hartford, Connecticut. All I wore, and that's why I have a hooded sweatshirt. You'll see it right there on the bed. Just a regular, like what most people will jog in, I guess, or whatever. That's what I carry with me on the road because I don't need a parka. He's like, aren't you going to be cold? Now, this man, Heath is another example. I love this man a lot, too, but... Yeah. He's, you know, he's got nothing on him. He's got no substance to him.
He's fairly fit, is what I would say. Yeah. I assume he's
got some kind of ab situation.
Well, I know, and we went and ate barbecue and fried chicken with him yesterday, and he was like, "Yeah, I'll have both of that." And I'm like, "Oh, suck it, dude! Like, you're killing me."
What you don't see, though, here's what I've learned in travel. Now I've been with him for almost it'll be 3 weeks straight, but I've been with him consistently.
Right.
Is that he has two or three days of that. But he's not in it to win it like you and I are.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't maintain.
Right.
He
can't, he's not committed to the bit of...
He's been eating nothing but salad since we left the pit.
When y'all go to the club tonight, just turn to somebody and go, can I get the Big A burger?
Yeah.
And that's me. I'm Big A. And we created a burger. And
I'm getting it tonight.
Get it tonight. And they have fried Gouda at this place.
Oh,
it's so
good.
It's a burger with the fried Gouda on it, an onion ring, and some barbecue sauce.
Oh, and I think doesn't have bacon, too?
Bacon. Yeah, there's bacon. You got to get you a Big A burger. It's awesome.
It's really good.
Very, very good.
That fried Gouda is so delicious, too.
Oh, I show up, and they're like, you want some cheese? Yes, I want some cheese. I want some cheese. If you could just put it in a cup, make it my beverage for the night, that would be awesome. I can't.
And so that's what these people don't understand. I told my wife. She goes, God damn it, it's cold in here. I said, well, there are two options.
Yeah.
Either A, put a goddamn sweater on, or B, help me lose weight. Because I guarantee if I get skinny, I will be cold too. I will be freezing cold all the time.
My phrase is, I can only get so naked until everybody's uncomfortable. So I go to my mother-in-law's house, which, by the way, love my mother-in-law.
Love
but
her.
She keeps the house on 80.
Oh, my God. 80 degrees with the mother-in-law.
Year-round.
Fucking kidding me.
Year-round. Absolutely kills me. And she'll know I'm coming over. You know, it'll be a holiday or something or anything. We go over, you know, she lives 10 minutes down the road. So we go over, and I swear she'll just look at me, and I'll walk in sweating. I'll be wearing shorts and a T-shirt and walk in sweating. And she'll just look at me and go, sorry. I'm like, well, you could turn the air down, you know, but – And again, nicest lady. I don't think she'll ever find a podcast on the. I actually told her, it's like she was at my house. I was like, I gotta go. I'm going to record a podcast, and she looked at me like, well, that sounds delicious. Like whatever that was, you know, like
that's fucked up. She assumes you're eating it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Like I don't know what she thought it was, but I was like, it's like a raid. Never mind.
I gotta go. Thanks for watching the kids.
Yeah. So she just doesn't turn. I'm like, you know I'm coming. You know I'm going to be there, and I'll, you know, I try. I'll even bring clothes in the, like, I'll just bring, you know, because you go at Easter time. You're like, all right, well, we'll show up in our nice clothes, and then I'm getting out of this in 2 minutes, so you better take your pictures quick. And, oh, it's 1,000 degrees. I can't hang.
And then here's what I love is that people don't understand, too, when you keep the house at 80 degrees, you're going to get fucking sinus infections and bronchitis issues and all that stuff. And they're always congested and they don't understand why. And then it's the same thing. I get shit about my kids all the time because I put them in shorts and T-shirts, you know, when I walk around.
Absolutely.
And then people are like, isn't that baby? He goes, oh, isn't he cold? People always ask you, like, isn't he cold?
Is the baby cold?
Yeah. I'm going to tell you two things. Number one, the motherfucker can't talk. Okay. He can't talk. So he is relying on me. And if... Again, Southern California, there isn't snow for a 3-hour drive. Do you understand? There's beach and there's a wind. That's about it, a breeze. And if you think that I'm abusing my child, that you need to intervene, that he is not safe, if you think this is the front lines of what fucked up shit is happening to children in our country, is that he's got a little chill because he's walking around in Los Angeles in just T-shirt. I just want to stab you in your eye with a fire poker. That's what I want to do. I want to take you out. Just listen, I pay you $725 a month. Just take care of the kid and leave him alone. Now, having said that, the ladies at my preschool are a delight, and I love hanging out with them. But it's not it's not just them. What it was is it's a teacher
Strangers will do it.
Oh, yeah, all the time. Oh, I had a lady in the grocery store, and this is what blew my mind, too. The grocery store is the most fucked up shit in the world because you walk around there with your kids. You're just trying to get the groceries and leave. And then you have decrepit old people, okay, that go there. There needs to be a grocery store.
Yeah, I agree.
There needs to be a grocery store that is for them. There needs to be a lane on the freeway and traffic areas for them. Yeah. And I don't, because otherwise it's impossible to not be disrespectful to my elders. It makes it very difficult.
The OPL, the old people lane at the grocery store, is what they need, and then they can check out and they can
do whatever
write
they
got to
do. Well, you're even better than I'm saying give them their own goddamn grocery store.
Well, there you go.
I don't want them anywhere near because I don't want them coming up to the same aisle of Honey Nut Cheerios as I am. And then looking at me and going, does he need – his nose is runny. He needs – do you need a tissue? And I looked at my kids like, because, you know, sometimes they get a runny nose and you kind of miss it. And the kid's nose was dry. It was clear. Yeah. So you're just crazy. You just wanted to help me parent my kid.
Your nose is runny. Do you want it?
If you go to big8.com/kids on eBay, you can bid. Otherwise, shut your face, lady. Shut your face hole.
That's awesome. Oh, yeah. It's – oh, man, I can't – That drives me crazy. And we, you know, what you need is wait till you get you some. Well, you need some girls is what you need. I know you got two boys. Maybe you're
done. I'm fixed.
Oh, I'm not fixed, but I've gotten the.
You daring son of a bitch.
Sure. We'll call it that. / not so lucky after the children. I don't know how you want to put it, but
would it not so lucky after the children? I don't understand what. Oh, I see what you're saying. I'm seeing what you're saying is that there has to be a game in order for there to be odds placed on the game.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's never. I'm just saying it's not as often. And
really?
Yeah.
Shocking.
Yeah.
It's so you have two children.
Two children.
And you're married.
I really don't know how we got them, to be honest.
Yeah. And you're married. And yet you're saying what you're trying to describe to me is that your sex life is lacking.
I typically don't even talk about sex life. But, you know, I'm just saying. Yeah, that's it. That's,
really?
I mean, you know, it's
I don't mean to. I hope I'm not piling on here. I think you're the only one.
No, okay. Well, I figured, and that's why I typically don't talk about it because I'm like, well, I'm real shameful of this.
The rest of us are fucking like crazy.
I don't know.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I don't know how you people keep your jobs and stuff. You know. Because that's the only way we knew how to do it. Like, well, she has a job, and I sort of have a job. And so, you know, who's got time for that, you know? As a matter of fact, just today I turned to my wife, and really before we got here, and I said, hey, we could get naked. That's how I like to say it.
Yeah.
And she said, we have to clean this place. People are coming tomorrow. I'm like, oh, well. Okay.
What if we combine the two?
Yeah. I'm just saying.
We could scrub the countertop with your ass. Yeah.
See, that would instantly not go over with my wife.
Really?
At all.
Not a fan? Yeah.
No, I don't.
My wife giggles at that stuff. There's a new side of my wife that has come out, and that, like, it's come up on the show where she recently told me, like, she's been getting hot at night. You know, when we go to bed, and so she goes,
"Are you in the bed with her?"
Yeah.
So you don't you don't snore?
I do a little. We'll talk about that next. let's put a pin in snoring because I think that's something that definitely all men can relate to. But so she's been getting hot, and I said, well, why don't you just wear less clothes to bed and let me know what it feels like to touch a woman when I go to sleep at night? And she was like, well, then you'll just want to have sex with me. And I'm like, when was that a bad thing?
Yeah,
when did that become? That's... Like, here's the thing. It's not, and here, this creates a lot of issues, and I've talked about this before on the show. This creates a lot of issues for me because, number one, I've always felt like her and I have a very good sex life. Now, great. Are we having it all the time? Like, we used to do it 5 times in a day because we're high school sweethearts. That's how we rolled then.
Awesome. Good Lord. Wow. Jeez.
Yeah, you got to get.
I didn't know what I was dealing with here. I think I'm really out of my league. I'm in the wrong room. I think there was a dude doing another podcast 2 rooms down, and that's the one I was supposed to encounter.
Well, yeah, but you didn't meet your wife in high school, right?
No, I met her in college.
See, that's. You see, what you have to do is you have to take not only. At college, you have other distractions. You know, it's not. You have school that is a little bit more taxing. What you do is you find two people that are at the beginning of their adult lives that have the energy and the hormones of a teenager.
Oh, yeah.
That's when we're supposed to be making life. That's what I really think, like, biologically. I mean, psychologically, no. We have no business making people. But biologically, that is when people are supposed to be born. You know, that's when it's supposed to happen.
I think that's the thing. I think in theory, if your bodies can technically do it, I think they're like, well, you know, you can. I'm like, yeah, but we're not all supposed to be the Amish or Mormon or whatever it is and marrying at 13 and whatnot.
Yeah.
Because
so my point, though, is that, you know, and I don't want to get into too much detail.
No.
Not necessarily. I don't think you'll mind, although I think it's funny that you broke eye contact.
I don't. You know, I'm all the time. I do clean shows and you know, somebody would be like, so you were clean. I'm like. Yeah, see, I can't talk about sex with my wife. I'm certainly not going to stand in front of a group of strangers and go, hey, let me tell you about my wiener. Like, we're not having that conversation.
That's not going down?
Ever. I think every comedy show I go to, somebody's talking about their wiener. I'm like, it's not going to be me. I'm not.
You guys cover that for me.
Yeah, they got that one covered, the wiener talk. The wiener talk's not me. I don't, you know, don't get me wrong. I like naked women as much as the next guy.
Of course, you're a man.
Yeah, that's, my wife said one time, she says, now how do you know you're not gay? Like, she just, yeah.
Your wife.
My wife, which is good. That's always a good sign, by the way, when your wife turns to you sometime and goes, well, how do you know you couldn't be gay?
I hope your wife's not gay.
I have a lot of strikes against me in the male category.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves because I want to get to that.
But she says,
snoring.
How do you know you're not gay? And I'm like, I like boobs way too much. Yeah. And I said it really loud, and the waitress came over right at that moment. It was insane. Like, she literally showed up right when I said, I like boobs way too much. Can I get my steak cooked medium? You know, like, it was very, you know.
I need some more buns, please.
Yeah. Can I have melons? Can I have some melons? Melons.
Here's my point, is that I was saying that my wife, like, she enjoys my performance, if you would.
Sweet.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've got a pretty good batting average. All I'm saying is that with my current batting average, I would be a strong contender to make the All-Star game every year.
Sweet.
And I'm pretty sure I would be inking a deal with the New York Yankees. Like, that's my batting average. I'm a swinger for the fencer, if you understand.
Sweet.
If you're picking up what I'm putting
you.
Down.
I
and it's not because I think I'm good. I think it's because my wife and I work well together. You understand? You're picking up what we're a yin and a yang. I'm not interested in it, but maybe another gentleman could come in there and maybe do just as good. I don't want to give him a shot. I don't think so.
Sure.
I don't
know. Does she listen to this?
Yeah.
Maybe
she used to listen a lot, but since we've had that second kid, not anymore. But she doesn't care if I talk about this stuff.
No.
But anyway, so my point is that if I've got a pretty good batting average, you know what I mean?
Right.
And we're still young. I mean, I know I'm not the most attractive. I'm not Matthew McConaughey, you know, and she feeds me that bullshit line of like, I don't like muscles. Fuck you.
Oh, that's my favorite,
too. I don't like muscles. And then like, oh, my God, look at him. He could just make my panties melt.
Yeah.
He's got muscles, bitch.
That's my favorite is when they say like, yeah, he is just not my thing. And you're like, every now and then I just go, so what is? Because... You know, is it really fat dudes? Because that's what you've chosen. She's like, no.
Is it pale, hairy skin?
Yeah. You know, is it a guy who looks like Bozo, you know? Or it's the weird kid from Paranorman? What is it? Paranorman?
Paranorman, yeah.
It's awesome. So, no, she'll end up saying something. And you're like, oh, that's what, like, I can't even, you know, like, she's not like a, you know, who's hot? It's Brad Pitt. She's just not.
She doesn't
work that kind of way. She's just more like, well, I kind of like, you know.
But wouldn't you like to see that? You'd like to see that when your lady turns on a movie and there's somebody that looks kind of like you and she's just like, man, I could ride that all night. You
know I don't.
Like a Jonah Hill. Like if she's
that would be awesome if she did, like, she was really into Jonah Hill and like, well.
I get it now.
You don't
right?
even need to. You got that, you know.
I'll dye my hair.
Yeah, it's like John Candy. Andy and Jonah Hill and Chris Farley and
posters.
Yeah, like I can Photoshop this all together, or just put my picture on there. Either one's good.
So here's my point, though. Again, is that I don't understand why she wouldn't want to. Like, if it's going well and it's working well, but that's a whole other thing.
No, for me, I mean, I don't know. I think there's umpteen reasons. I mean, you have kids, you're always like, hey,
you're tired.
Yeah, you're tired. I don't go to bed at a normal time. Mm-hmm. I am a comedian, and even long before I was one, I didn't go to bed at a normal time. So my wife's almost always gone to bed before me. And if I do try to go to bed at the same time, it's, what's all that wiggling? Why are you moving? And it's, all I'm doing is I move
you're
a lot.
Existing.
I'm just existing. Are you breathing? Can you hear yourself? I can hear you breathing. You're like, dude, I am just... Like, and I've told her, I'm like, you know, when you get in the bed, you don't like lift the cover, lay real still, and then pull it on you, and then you're done. Like, you're done. I said, when you're in the bed and I have to come to bed an hour or two later, like, I get in the bed, I got to get situated, I got to shove my blanket between my legs because that makes me comfortable. Yep. I got to hang one arm off the side of the bed.
Mm-hmm.
I put my headphones on, I listen to weird massage videos I've put on my iPod. I mean, things like that. And. There's two ladies on YouTube. They do massage instructions, and their voices will knock you out. And I kept waking up in front of my
computer. I thought you were talking about like the special category of like YouPorn videos.
Oh, no, it's not YouPorn at all. It is literally things on YouTube. It's genuine stuff. It's ladies who are like, and here's how you massage the shoulder. Yeah, and instantly you're like, hey, you know what I like about. And I kept waking up in front of my computer. I figured out how to turn them into audio files. And I turned them into audio files, and I put them on my iPod. And, you know, I would love it if somebody turned on my iPod and were like, hey, you know what his most listened to thing? Because this is what's going to happen. I'm going to die. And they're like, well, I wonder what he listened to most. And it should be Rage Against the Machine. It should be that, some Tools, some Run DMC, that kind of thing. It's going to be, who the hell are Lita Feet and Athena Jezik? And they're like, oh, these two ladies, these two different ladies that do massage instructions on YouTube, and this wacko listened to them 6 billion times? What is wrong with you? Like, I'll wake up, and it'll be the last thing I played, and I'll just hit play on my iPod. I'm like, yeah, I can listen to this while I make breakfast. What do I care? It's very relaxing. So.
I want to talk about snoring. Here's my battle with snoring is that I am an intermittent snorer.
Oh yeah.
I think that I've noticed that if I'm a 205 is kind of my happy weight right now. That it's hard for me to get below that. But it's not necessarily hard for me to go like above it really, unless it's around the holidays. Like if I just completely like don't even pay attention to anything, then and if I get above like 207 is when I start snoring like every night.
I like how you're hovering around the 200s. That's what I like. Yeah. You're talking about my problem areas are in the 200s. And I'm like, you're nowhere near me, dude. Like I years ago I did Weight Watchers and I got down to like 180 something.
Are you shitting?
Oh yeah, it was crazy. It's a really good program. thanks for endorsing me, Weight Watchers. But then I had kids and you can't exercise as much and all this stuff. And then got big again, and so I started back in January, and I lost like 45 pounds.
Are you shitting me?
No.
You did look like you lost weight since I saw you, but I always hate saying that shit because A, it's kind of a chick
thing. But I'm still fat.
You're not fat. You're not fat.
Oh, yeah.
You're a man, damn it. Yeah. You're a man. You're a man.
I'm just unseasonably fat.
No,
that's what
you're a man, damn it. You're a man. Who doesn't GTL and all that bullshit. You're a grown-ass man with two daughters, and that's what a father is supposed to look like.
And I like to eat. I'm not going to lie to you. I like to eat. So
you like to fucking live. It's not about eating. It's like it's living with happiness.
So I got down. I got down to like 232 a couple months ago. And, I got invited back into the bedroom, that kind of thing. Because my snoring is I already know what it sounds like, not because it's been recorded. I had a father who literally could shake a house.
Oh, yeah, see, me too.
And so I look like him. I'm shaped like him.
Yep.
And so I'm like, oh, I already know what this sounds like. So I'll get like – I get hit in the middle of the night when I'm snoring and all this stuff. So I'm like, yeah. I feel bad. You know, my wife works hard at her job, and I work hard at night for about 30 minutes or 45.
It's very hard what we do.
Very difficult.
Yeah.
I do a lot of things wrong. I'll eat dairy before I go to bed.
Is that a thing you're not supposed to do?
I'm sure, and it's just like anything. Like, if you know, they always say, like, if you're gonna speak or sing or any of that stuff, you shouldn't consume a lot of dairy before you do it because it's gonna be very phlegmy.
Oh,
so you know, you just imagine.
Oh, that helps with the snoring. I
yeah,
see.
Yeah, if you're just somebody who likes to enjoy a nice tall glass of chocolate milk before you go to bed, and you're like, you know, I'm gonna have some chocolate milk and some Cheez-Its before I go to bed, and then you lay there in the bed going
Cheez-Its,
and you're like, oh, good Lord, you know, I already know, and I know it too. Like, I'll wake up in the morning like, oh, I got a sore throat. So
yep. I've done that.
If I don't get pushed to the spare bedroom, I'll just go ahead and do it myself. I'm like, well, I'm sure I'm not going to be good. You know, my wife says, hey, you should come back in here. And I'm like, I'm all for it. But I'm also a human heater, you know, like we were talking about. So I get in the under the blankets, and I'm just like, my wife's like, oh, my God. She's like, I'm so cold. Can you come in here and warm me up? And it won't be but like 2 minutes. She's like, okay, you have got to go. I am just – I'm warm. You're good. Good Lord, how do you do that? I'm like – I always like it when I go somewhere.
You are welcome.
I always like it when I go somewhere and I'll be sitting like in a waiting room or something and people are like, it got hot in here. Is it hot in here to you? And I'm like, sorry. And they're like, why are you sorry? I'm like, I'm pretty sure it's me. Yeah. I'm almost certain I did that.
I have an effect on people.
They're like, what do you mean? I'm like, no, I really can generate heat. My wife thinks we could just rent me out in the wintertime. Like, you should just go there and stand.
Yeah. You should be our new sustainable energy source.
Yeah.
You can power hybrids.
That's right. We've called the electric company. We don't need you anymore. Yeah,
thank you.
He's his own. Between the kids and their energy.
You're off the grid.
Oh, God.
Well, here's what I would deal with is that I didn't know I was a snorer. But what I did know is that I started going through this period where I was not sleeping well.
Oh, yeah.
And I would just randomly wake up, which I never had a problem with, right? And so you just keep doing it, and you keep doing it, and you keep doing it. And what was happening was my wife would nudge me. She didn't hit me. She would just give me a gentle nudge, which was enough to wake me up. But the thing about the nudge is it's when the nudge is recoiled is when you actually wake up. So you don't feel the nudge.
Oh,
it's
you don't know she's doing stuff.
Yeah, it's a ghost nudge. You just find yourself, I'm awake. What the fuck's going on?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so it's
I like that. I find that totally by accident, I will get my wife back with that by an elbow to the face.
Yeah.
Apparently is what I will do. I will literally roll over and just be like,
and
right in the face.
Yeah.
And I did it one night, and we're both asleep. She happens to be rolling over towards me. I roll over towards her. Sorry.
No, you're fine.
And all of a sudden, I just elbowed her right in the face. And so there's nothing better than a dark, you know, 3 a.m. You hear, ow! And you're just like, sorry. I didn't know what I was... So there's lots of things that keep me kicked out of the bedroom,
which also doesn't help your love.
Sessions. Exactly. I mean, it's like nobody's ever wanting to like you know wanting to snuggle up to nothing or the guy who's snoring or and that's what I love about the sleep apnea. And they're like, you know what? You'd sleep a lot better and you'd save your wife some problems if you had a sleep apnea mask. I'm like. Oh, yeah. You know what? She really gets turned on by Darth Vader.
Yeah.
That turns her on to no end is just me going, hey, honey.
Because if that worked.
You want to get naked? Are you feeling this? The force is strong with this one. Like I just
bet you could find my lightsaber.
Yeah. I'm just always love it when they're like, hey, you should get a sleep apnea machine. I'm like, you know, I think I'd rather die snoring, which is funny because you never hear that. You never hear like another person died snoring. Like, because they're always like, you could die from sleep apnea. I don't think that's true.
It might be like spousal murder.
That would be it. So, yeah. Or maybe that's the whole phrase, well, he died in his sleep.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, you know, and they're like, well, really, it was sleep apnea. We just don't want to let people know. call it that.
Although you could have the cool, you get to do the cool move. If I had the sleep apnea machine, I would want to do the cool fighter pilot move where you click off the face mask.
Oh, yeah. I can't even fathom like the idea of like, hey, honey, you want to do that? I'm just gonna leave this on.
Yeah,
you know, tubes and all. Like, I think my machine is running out. So whatever it is, oh my God, it's insane.
I don't know. It could be kind of be a fun role playing game where she can climb on top and pretend you're an aging billionaire,
a fat cyborg. What'd you do last night? I had sex with a fat cyborg.
Check that off my bucket list.
Yeah, exactly. Y'all are the worst role players ever. Next, I'm having sex with a clown with no makeup. That's what I'm doing.
That's my forever.
Which, by the way, is what I look like, a clown with no makeup.
Oh, damn it. That's so funny. Well, here's another thing, too, that I wanted to talk about was I'm on the road.
Right.
And my poor wife has had it happen now twice that I go out on the road. And I don't know. Do you I don't know if you have this in your own relationship, is that I feel like when you become the primary caregiver for your children, that
right.
even though the your wife has those same maternal instincts
of
and
course.
There's a nurturing element that she has that we have a hard time generating if we even can.
Yeah,
right?
Of course.
But you have a better sense of what your kids are and who they are, like what their signals are than
yeah.
she does, which I think kind of messes with their programming of being the mom.
Oh, it makes them mad because they're kind of mad at themselves for like,
yes.
oh, I'm not there for my children.
Yes.
And you're like, yeah, but you're really kind of here for all of us
yes.
because if it weren't for your job, we'd be homeless
yes.
Kind of thing. So, yeah, that definitely happens where, I mean, I'm not – it's hard for me to even say I'm the primary caregiver because I got one that goes to school. So during the day, she's not there, but we have year-round schooling here in Raleigh. So for 3 weeks, it's for 9 weeks she's in school, 3 weeks she's out mm-hmm. all year long. So there's 3 weeks where she's home with me all day long. And Dad's got to find something fun for us to
yeah.
do at least every other day, if not every day. It's like, where are we going? Oh, we're going to the park. What park? Well, the one that's a block away on the other street, next street. You know, like,
yeah.
that's not fun at all. We could do that anytime we want. Aren't we going to Disney World? It's you and me, Dad. And you're like, we don't go to Disney World.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. They're just, you know, they want you to up the ante every
yeah.
time. It's like, and, you know, so I'm home with her, and then my five-year-old is home with me. And for, we had a little period where she was home with me for the whole week. But, you know, in order to do comedy, I can't book stuff
mm-hmm.
and it be like, oh, yeah, yeah, I just got to go find a sitter for my five-year-old for
yeah.
a Thursday, Friday, or a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday or something. So she's home with me on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So there's definitely weeks where I'm home with two children a lot. And, you know, we do stuff. The funny thing is they don't behave the same for me
yes.
that they do for my wife. And it is horrendous how they behave for her. And I am loud. And if people get out of line in my house, I don't like it, but I get angry and loud, a little scary.
Yeah.
Which
that's
is not
your job. That's what dads do.
Yeah, so I'm not proud of it, but it happens. And my wife can do that too, but A, she's not a dude.
Yep.
And B, she's not as loud as me. So it just they have a different reaction. It's like the dog. We have a dog, and the kids are the exact same way. When I come home, and the dog looks at me, he's like, hey, it's good to see you. I'm a little excited, but not really. Sometimes I won't even get out of the cage. I'll lift my head. I mean, I don't have the cage is open. She's just like, yeah, I'm good in here, you know.
Thanks.
The moment my wife walks in the door, the dog
yes.
loses it, jumps on her, very excited, and will pee out of excitement every time. This is exactly how my kids are, except my wife kind of doesn't want to be around them. And by them, I mean the kids. It's not that she doesn't like them.
No,
but she's like, she just got home.
She's got home from work. She needs to decompress a little.
Yeah. So, and by, you know, doesn't want to be around them, I mean like almost all the time. So it's like, it's really, but you know what, I think what kills me the most, and this may have happened to you, but what my wife likes to do is contact me 10 to 20 minutes before a show starts
mm-hmm.
with some horrendous issue.
Yes. That's what brought this up.
Yeah, yeah.
That's exactly what brought this up.
It's always something. I was doing a show at Good Nights here one time, and this was a valid reason, but I couldn't help her. She was like, you remember how we went on a walk, and you left, and you put the garage down? I'm like, yeah. She goes, the garage pad button doesn't work. We can't get in the house. We're locked out of the house. You have to come home. I'm like, I can't come home. The show starts in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
We're, you know, or 20 minutes, and we're, you know, we live 25 minutes away. That's 50. No, math doesn't work. She's like, no, you have to come home. I'm like, no, I have to do the job I got hired for.
Yeah.
I'll come the moment I am done. You chose comedy over our family. You hate us.
And which, like, this is where it sucks ass for what we do because yeah. everybody looks at it and like, oh, it's just fun. You're just fucking around.
Everybody thinks it's
yeah,
a hobby.
Exactly. Yeah, they're just like, oh, it's just fucking fun. And they don't understand that it's they're not, while I'm saying, I'm not trying to aggrandize it or whatever. That's
right.
not the right word or a word. But, But it's like there is this element that I don't think our wives understand is that when that show starts, my wife gets it, I think, a little bit because she danced, but she doesn't count.
Wait a minute.
The Spearmint Rhino. I mean, come on. You can get anybody to cover your shift there and just swap thongs and nobody knows
Good
who's it.
Good Lord.
but she gets an idea of a show. And so it's like this thing where they don't treat it. You like that I don't correct
it? I just love that you're just like, yeah, Spearmint Rhino, it's good. That's where she works.
That's where she works. She's a stripper, everybody. Met my wife. She's a stripper and a good mother.
Awesome, awesome.
But they think, like, if you were about to open up somebody's heart, if you were going to do open heart surgery, right. And then she called and said the garage down, and you're like, I can't go. I got to go open up this dude's heart because it's scheduled. We've already got him under anesthetic.
You chose surgery over the family.
That's never going to happen. Yeah. Never going to happen. Yeah. It's like, you chose to save someone else's life to compensate for our mild discomfort.
Right.
And they don't understand. Like, I'm sure that on some level your wife doesn't understand, well, why can't you do your 20 minutes earlier or let somebody else get up there?
Well, the show, you know, it's one of those things where, like, the show started, you know, probably in 15 minutes, but I knew, you know, there's the MC, I'm the feature, but it all works out where it's like, that mathematically this wouldn't work and I can't get people to change the time of a show because you got locked out. We've since made precautions where that'll never happen again. Brand new garage door recently and hidden keys all over the place and whatnot. So it's not going to happen. But, you know, it's one of those things. But I'll get, like, you know, texts from my wife. Where in the hell is the iPod? Alexa needs the music to go to bed to. I can't find it. You have to call me. And I'm like, I'll get that while I'm on stage. I'm like, I know. Like, you know, and I'll occasionally forget to turn my ringer off. I'm like, oh, that's not good. Once in a blue moon, I've gotten a call. I'm like, that's not I have to just, you know, pretend that's not important.
And, well, the worst is if I get into show mode, and this is what happened to me recently. So my wife is, unfortunately, the beginning of November is when I really start. I've been on the road every weekend since the first weekend in November, minus Thanksgiving. And then after Thanksgiving, I went out on the road, and I'm not coming back until Christmas Eve, right? So I'm gone for 3 weeks straight.
Yeah.
And she is solo with babysitters during the day. And we have amazing sitters. But what the hard part is, and I'm speaking way out of school because I'm not there, is that I still have this feeling that the sitters are not us. You understand what I'm saying? No matter how good your sitter is, it's really hard to care for somebody else's kid and be aware. You know, that's a lot to ask of them. And our sitters are amazing. Yeah. I would easily bring them both in full time into my life if I could swing it.
Oh, yeah.
And they would be better off probably taking care of my kids. But they're not there
all
the time.
Did you just say you wanted to be swingers with your sitters? Because that's what it sounded like.
Yeah. Is that inappropriate?
No, that sounds good. I just wanted to make sure that's what
If you looked at them.
Yeah. Well.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, come on. They're 26. I mean, Jesus Christ.
Oh, hey.
So she had to take Jack to the ER early November because he had croup cough. And then
the worst.
Yeah. So then that went over to Jacob, and then she got sick, and then Thanksgiving happened, and then now I'm gone on the road, and so everything's fine. Everybody's great. And then last night, I come off stage, and I look at my phone, and it is riddled with text messages. Like, you get on the iPhone, you have that notification screen of missed calls. These people, and it just so happens that there are unknown numbers mixed in. And then one of the text messages I happened to notice from the sitter was like, do you happen to have the doctor's number? Now, this is
oh, good Lord.
This is when at 3:00 Eastern time, I got a call from the school saying, hey, Jacob isn't feeling so well. He's really not doing well. Like, we thought it was just a cold. And so we don't have the sitter's number. Can you have her come and pick him up? He wants to go home. So I'm like, oh, okay. And I just thought he had a cold because my wife said he's got a little nose thing or whatever. Yeah. Now the sitter is saying, I need the number to the doctor. So I'm like, I don't know what the fuck is happening.
Oh, man.
I don't know what I'm going to do from North Carolina.
Yeah.
So then
my favorite.
Yeah.
What are you going to do from a distance?
Yeah. So, and it just sucks ass because I don't have, I just wish I had grandparents nearby that you could just go, hey, go over there and help out. Her parents would be worse if we live closer to her parents. My mom's a respiratory therapist. You know, my dad's worked around hospitals his entire life. So there's an element of they can handle just about anything. But so I'm just sitting there, I'm going, what the fuck? And it's different. In a normal show, when I'm not with Heath, is that I'm up on stage for 20 to 30 minutes tops, and then I'm sitting around for the rest of the hour of the show.
It's different for
Heath. With Heath, I'm running the lights and helping out with the sound and stuff a little bit. I got to be in the back of the room for the whole show, and I can't call. Like, I have maybe a 5-minute break that I could jump outside and make a phone call before he needs me, and I got to be paying attention so I don't lose track. It's too impossible. So I'm just sitting there going, holy crap, what's going on?
Right.
You know? So then I call her and she goes, hey, honey, I'm taking Jacob to the ER. And I'm like, fucking hell. I go, okay, well, what's going on? And so she goes, well, and then she likes to tell me the story. And I understand. I get that you want to tell me the whole thing and fill me in on what's going on. And I go, and I, so I try to be sensitive. I go, babe, I've got 10 minutes before the show's going to start again. I go, I just looked at my phone and it's riddled with text messages of what's good. Something's going on. I need help. Blah, blah,
what's
blah, blah,
long
blah.
Short?
Call me ASAP. I go, can you just do me a favor for now? Skip to the end and tell me the part where you said it's a false alarm and everybody's okay.
Can you just say that? Yeah,
she's like, I have to take him to the ER. They think he might have, I think he might have meningitis. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? So then I have to be the strong one from across the country, right, and I have to say, he doesn't have meningitis. That doesn't happen. Yeah, He's fine. It's just a bad flu or something, you know, to calm her down and say,
he got,
you know,
a bad chicken nugget. He's good.
He's good, he's right? Good. He's fine. And it's, here's the part that, and then I lose my shit. And it, I know that there's an element that is unfair, and that if my wife were to hear this, I would tell her that I don't completely feel this way, but there I cannot in all fairness say that there is a modicum of honesty and truth, right, in what I'm about to say. But what I don't understand, and this is unfair to my wife, I'm admitting that up front. But having said all that, okay,
I almost know what
how
this
the
is.
Hell can I go 6 months where if I'm there, that child does not have to go to a hospital. There isn't a fucking injury that happens. And yet, I go away for 5 days and this bitch can't keep them out of the hospital for 5 goddamn days. Are you shitting me?
Yeah.
Just go 5 days and not take them to an ER, you know? And I'm telling Heath this because I'm kind of filled with frustration. And I know that 90% of what I'm feeling is the frustration and helplessness of being wired. I'm wired as a male to want to protect and secure my family and provide. That's what I'm wired to do.
Yeah.
And when I am on the other side of the country and I can't satiate that need, I can't go get to the back of the cave. I can't do any of that bullshit. I'm just sitting there. So I have this anxiety energy. And so it just starts spilling out all over Heath Heitch, you know? So he goes, well, maybe she's just unlucky. I go, but oh, come on.
How unlucky are you?
How unlucky does it? Because if it is, when I am home, we need to start playing the fucking lottery or going to Vegas or something.
I think it's an energy thing. And like, I don't believe in like a bunch of mysticism, horse crap or like, you know, herbs.
I don't either.
Astral, blah, blah, blah. I don't believe in any of that. But I truly believe, you know, they have that thing where they're like, oil and water don't mix.
Yes.
My wife and the two girls, they aren't even oil and water. They are chemicals that should never touch one another.
I see.
Because they're explosive.
They're combustible, like C4.
Yes. Exactly. Or ammonia and bleach, or whatever the two things, the cleaning substances are that'll knock you out while you're cleaning your house. That's what my wife and my girls are. And it's been that way forever. And it's not that me and the girls get along better, because we still have plenty of issues. And again, remember, it's just me and my wife and two girls and a female dog. So I got nothing but estrogen and a dad who hates sports, doesn't drink beer, doesn't like a lot of manly things, reads comic books and whatnot. So, you know, I got nothing working in my favor in that regard, but they're fine. Like my 5-year-old, when she's home with me, I don't even have to turn the TV on. She has, especially in the last couple of weeks, months, just been playing. She will go play with dolls for hours, talk to herself and just play, no problems. Hey, sweetie, you want a peanut butter sandwich? Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah.
That's awesome. My wife's like, what a turd. She was a jerk all day long. Mm-hmm. She did nothing but complain. I got nothing but problems. So if I leave my wife home alone, like if I go do a gig that's out of town for a week or almost a week, I've left her home where she's got to do morning routine. She's got to pick up people. She's got to do bedtime routine and all that stuff. And I'm not there to help. And every bit of it is like, oh, they were horrible in the morning. They were horrible when I picked them up. They were horrible at bedtime, horrible at bath time. I'm like, you know, I don't want to say anything. And my kids are not well behaved. I fully admit this. They have to know it. They're, you know, my 5-year-old's chock full of smack talk. My 10-year-old is just like, spending her whole time, how can I sneak candy in?
Yeah.
And what kind of, you know, like just crap. You're just.
So what you're saying is that they're not necessarily easy. But here's what it sounds like to me is it sounds like I always think it's funny and almost kismetish in that the way that these relationships combine. Like you and your wife meet, and it just so happens that you've met a woman that isn't necessarily wired to be Mrs. Brady. You know what I mean?
Yes,
like, she's not
correct.
Mrs. Cleaver. She's not going
to
be.
It's not that she doesn't want to be a mom.
No, I know.
She wants
right,
to be a mom.
Right.
But
it's almost like what you would expect to hear out of a father.
Right.
You know what I mean? But it's coming out of a
kids,
mom.
I just don't have a lot of time for them. And, you know, that's what I got her around for, to take care of them.
Kind of.
That kind of stuff.
That kind of vibe, a little bit.
And all my voices are just southern and real rednecky because I live in North Carolina. That's what I grew up around. We shot stuff. That's what we did.
And I don't know. Like, here's the part that I don't know is that my wife and I think that we complement each other, obviously. And so really what the situation is that when you remove
right.
one of the elements that has – like, it's almost like you're a milk to her acid or whatever. You know
yes.
how, like, that
yes.
milk will
yes.
calm down any kind of acidic
thing? I mean, it really has been – the funny part is I'm as volatile as the next
right.
person. I got red hair, so that – I'm telling you, I don't – most redheaded people I meet are just like, yeah, secretly I'm pretty angry.
Yeah.
I'll lose it in a heartbeat. I'm like the red
I've
Hulk.
Been known to kill small creatures.
Right, exactly. Like, I've crushed some things. So, like, I'm it's not great, but I'm like, I try my best. And it's funny, if I'm getting angry, she comes in like, what are you doing to those children?
Yeah.
And if she gets angry, I come in like, what are you doing to those children?
Yeah.
So we both have the same reaction. And the truth is, we're both equally just irritated with them. But it's amazing how when I'm not there, it seems to be like so much worse.
Yeah.
Like I travel, but I do shows here locally. And it's amazing how when she knows I'm local, the texts I get are, what's your ETA? When are you
yeah.
leaving?
When
are you coming
home? Yeah.
You know, a lot of times I don't eat before a show, and I like to eat.
Yeah.
And if
hungry after
and,
you, yeah.
Well, after I do perform a show, if it's late, I mean, I won't eat dinner till midnight, and that's fine with me, but I want to eat dinner then.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to come home and be like, well, you can have the leftover, you know.
Yeah.
Stuff you didn't like 2 days ago. I'm like, I'd rather not. I'd rather go eat a burger at Mojo's or whatever.
And laugh with the comments.
That's right. Oh, that's really all I want to do. And yeah. and so it's like, it's just amazing. Because then I've raced home before. I got called from a Green Day concert. You've got to come home. She was pregnant, wasn't feeling well, and we had the oldest one already.
Yeah.
And so I raced home and came home. She's like, I'm fine now. I'm like, you know, I've tried to see them twice, and the first time was at Lollapalooza, and my idiot buddies wanted to drink in the parking lot, and we missed the first opening act, which was Green Day. And then the second time, I'm at the show, and you call me because you're hurting, which, you know, you're pregnant, and I'm worried.
Yeah, yeah.
But I get home, and you're fine, and everybody's good. So, you know, it's one of that it's along those same lines. Like, and when you call me and I'm doing comedy, I'm like, if I'm out of town, I'm like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm real sorry.
Yeah. Well, and I got my poor wife, so she's keeping me in the loop and everything, and it works out that – so what happened was that you call the healthcare line, and they have a nurse, and the nurse, you know, is kind of guiding you through going, okay, what's going on? So she came home. She took my son's temperature. So I don't make my wife sound like an asshole too much. Is that she took his temperature. His temperature was 104, which
she's
is –
a stripper. She can't be that
Yeah, she can't
asshole.
Be that good with yeah. her kids either. What? I'm sorry. Did we say two different things? No, I'm kidding. So she took the kid's temperature, and it was 104, which is scary.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he had already had Advil in him, and it's 104, so that's really scary. And so, but I think it was one. We do the ear thermometer, and so
you
I
do
think.
It, you do it. You do it anal and then mouth and then ear, right?
Yeah, and that's then we take and then
in
we
that
average
order. Same one in that order.
Yeah, we do a
anal mouth
an ass to mouth oral oral video with my kid,
and then he's like, "This tastes terrible. Stay with me. I need a temperature.
30 more seconds."
Yeah.
I don't understand I think I've said this on the show. I don't understand the rectal thermometer design.
Whoever had that idea? Whoever said?
Well, I get when you're dealing with mercury thermometers, I get that you want an accurate number or whatever, and you can't get it to keep it in the mouth underneath the tongue. I understand that. However, now we have the things where you just rub it across their forehead or you stick it in their ear.
They got guns. You can shoot at the kid's forehead.
Yeah.
The little laser thing that it's like a meat thermometer.
Yeah.
And you just point it at their head. Nah.
From across the room. You don't have to touch your children.
How about your kid's temperature? Boop. 98.7 is looking good. Like,
they say it because they still say that the rectal is the one that's the most accurate. And my thing is, like, I'll deal with the degree of error.
Yeah,
I'll deal with that just for the uncomfortableness of it all, in my opinion. So my point is that so we go through all this thing. Yeah, sorry, I had to just check the time.
No,
because I will get lost in your eyes in this conversation. That is a given.
So blue.
Oh my God. And that ginger hair. So she freaks out a little bit. The lady calls. She said, okay, well, can he move his neck? Is he achy? He said he had a headache. He's 4 years old. I don't think he really knows what a headache. Yeah. I think what he's trying to do, because here's the thing. Other people hear me tell this and they want to say, oh, well, your kid's just being manipulative like kids do or whatever. And maybe right. I'm being too much of, oh, my kid's an angel. I know he's not perfect, but I just don't buy him as being that kind of manipulative.
Right.
And I think what was happening was that he's like, I really feel like shit because he had a high fever.
Yeah.
And he was just trying to communicate anything you asked him. She said that he was acting delirious, which I don't know. I feel like if I was there.
That's my kids all the time.
Exactly. Oh. And I And that's the thing. It's unfair to my wife that because she isn't there all the time. And I feel bad for her because I know that she has a little bit of guilt over that.
Right.
And that if she had married a man who could have a real job.
Yes.
Make money. This is the difference, I think, between our situations is that I don't think that your wife would want to trade, you know, spots with you. I do think my wife would kind of although she doesn't envy it. But I think that if it came down to it where I was making $100,000 a year all of a sudden, she'd be like, I'll stay home with the kids.
Yeah, sure. I agree. My wife – now, she – I don't know. I kind of wonder about that too. Like, I feel like, well, what would happen? Because she, you know, like anybody, she gets a little sick of her job. Certain things tick her off.
Every family needs a Freaky Friday situation. Everybody needs to
– You know, so she gets a little tired of it, and she does a lot of speaking. She'll get up and do some training and that kind of thing, so she doesn't have a problem. So, you know, I'm like – you know, every now and then I'll tell her, I'm like, you know, you and I have similar jobs. You travel. My wife travels internationally with her job.
Oh, okay.
So she'll go to like Africa and Indonesia.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Stuff like that. Uganda and Guatemala. And so she travels. And I was like, I travel. I was like, I said, you stand up and speak sometimes. That's all I do. Mm-hmm. I was like, so we have similar jobs. And instantly she's like, no, we don't have similar jobs. And we kind of do, but I think the money is so different that in her head it's like nothing.
Yeah.
Like, she you know, she sees it. I think she still thinks it's a hobby until somebody knows who I am and I'm on TV or I'm doing this enough to where maybe she could.
Which is ironically it's funny because I think almost she thinks that because there's a higher paycheck, there's more pressure, which is understandable.
Right.
Because I've done that. You get those high paying corporate gigs as a nobody and you're like, oh my God, they're giving me $3,000 to do this. I can't suck.
Yeah.
And then I've eaten it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've eaten it at those shows.
Eaten
and then
it at a corporate gig.
Said thank you at those paychecks and I got to go. So I think that maybe that's where she's coming from. But weirdly enough is that when you get known is when it becomes easier. Like once you have people coming to see you at a comedy club, that's when the job really becomes cake. Like it's easy.
Oh, it's almost not the job. It's almost not a job.
And then it's just you're talking with friends that you've made over years of building up an audience or whatever. But anyway, it's not your fault. It's mine. I do it. So She finds – the nurse says, can he touch his chin to his chest, which everybody knows is that's a way to check for meningitis and stuff like you have meningitis. You couldn't
chin?
See it, but
which
Andy – yeah, Andy just tried to do it.
Which chin? I can't figure out. Am I real one or the two underneath?
I think you're good. So he's like, no, it hurts. Everything hurts. And so she said, can he turn his head to the side? He's like, no, everything hurts. And so that's when she was like, I think he's got meningitis. I lied. And I was like, no, he doesn't have it. In my mind, I'm like – fuck, I got to figure out what it is. I knew about that checking, but I didn't know what was entailed. Like, I'm pretty sure it's just antibiotics. And I just, like, was trying to figure out if this is a permanent, like, a syndrome
or what. The 104 thing would just eat at me. Like, 104, like, 102, well, you're supposed to get a little worried.
Here's what I think happened. So she goes to the ER. Mm-hmm. Luckily, we have an amazing pediatrician that is un-fucking-believably awesome and gave us her cell phone number. And was like, it's okay if you use it, knows we won't abuse it. And the 104 number was a number that scared me enough. So she called her too, just to double check. Yeah. And she goes, I don't think he's got meningitis. I think he has strep throat. So she said, but he still needs to be seen. So that she goes, unfortunately, you're going to have to go to the ER because their offices were closed already, blah, blah, blah. So she goes to the ER and it wasn't too busy, which was great. And by the time he gets in to be seen by the doctor, as we've all been there, we all go there, we do the rush. And I don't know why it works this way with kids, but they get into that fucking ER and start breathing that hospital air, which is by far the most sickly air in the world.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden magic happens and they start feeling better. And you look like a jackass who was overly concerned.
Right.
Even if you're like a wounded veteran, like you've been a battle tested veteran of ERs and had two children go through sickness. And now this is your third. And you're like, I know what real sickness is now, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So she gets there and she's like, they just took his temperature. It's 99 degrees. And so everything was fine. And they think he just had like a flu thing. And then he was eating while he was there and everything was.
A little gas.
Yeah.
It's just a little gas.
I was like, and so I think what happened is she did the ear thing. And sometimes the ear thing will do a misread. And this is why they say, oh, the rectally. But if you take it two or three times, you'll get a fair, accurate of,
right.
Assessment of what the temperature is. And I think she took it once, had a little bit of panic, understandably so.
Right, right.
And so then, of course, everything works out fine. And it's just, but again, it brings me back to this mindset of like, what the fuck? Why can't, and so she sends me this email and she goes, I want you to know that I don't just take them to the ER. And I know why she has to defend herself. And right. I told the story today that she was the woman that when we had a dog, I went out on the road for another gig before I even started doing stand up. And she goes, the dog ate a black widow. I have to take it to the emergency vet. And I said, hold
Holy
on,
crap.
Hold on, yeah. hold on. This is a 75-pound hound dog, right? I said, is he acting weird? She's like, well, what do you mean by weird? I said, weird, the definition of weird is anything different than normal. Yeah. Like, so she goes, well, he's laying down. He's a fucking hound dog. Yeah, that's yeah, what he yeah, does at yeah. night. He lays down. So she's like, well, I don't know. I go, he's not pawing at his mouth or anything. I go, has he eaten or anything? She's like, well, I don't know. I go, does he drink water? She's like, no. He's like, oh, he's not doing anything abnormal. She's like, no. I said, then he's fine. He'll be fine. She's like, well, I don't want him to die. I go, he cost me $75. If he fucking dies, we'll get another one.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
just how I it know. Works. She's not wired that way.
Nobody,
not that anybody should be.
Nobody else is, but I am the same yeah. as you. I'm like, you know, I have a joke about it. I'm like,
my wife wanted to when we lost yeah. him at my parents' cabin. She's like, we have to put signups for $1,000 reward. I said, $1,000 reward. Do you know we could get 10 of his
yeah,
ass
yeah.
for $1,000?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, when you go to the vet and they're like. With your dog's teeth need cleaning. Like, how much
teeth?
That, yeah, how much is that going to run me? $200. How much for a new dog? Like, because that is expensive.
You
like,
can replace the whole mouth.
Yeah, that is. So I don't get that.
So she, you know, then of course later on that night she took him to the emergency vet, and then he had to be held under observation all fucking night. So that was a pretty penny. But anyway, so she sends me this email, and I had calmed down, and I said to her, I said, you know, babe, all I really care about is that everybody is okay.
Yeah.
And I wish I could say that I was a healthier, happier man, because that's part of my New Year's resolution is that I want to be the guy who's like, I love, because I do.
Right.
I love that woman more than anything in this world. And the minute she gets out of my line of sight, I am not exaggerating. The minute that woman is out of my sight, I crave her presence. I need her to
That's
be near
awesome.
Me, and I love the living shit out of her. But I am wired in a way that anything that she does wrong, I can't just go, it's okay because she's so beautiful and amazing. And she is. She's an amazing mother and a great wife and so fucking supportive of everything that I do. Why can't I just be like,
yeah, yeah.
So she has this shortcoming, let it go.
Yeah, like, yeah,
I
can't. Yeah, yeah.
And that's the fucking part that sucks to be her and married to me.
Yeah.
And I, cause I just, I don't get it. I don't believe, like, it's the same thing when I leave before we even had kids, a computer would break or something mechanical would happen.
Always,
I'm like,
always.
Why is it that it never happens
when I'm
there?
Like the garage door thing with me, you know.
And I know people are listening that are like, oh, well, it's just, you don't notice it cause you just fix it. No, no. Kids going to the emergency room has right. only happened under her watch. Okay. Do you understand?
Right.
I think my kids have been to the ER four times. One time was when I was at home and I took my son to the urgent care
right.
because it was open late at night and I sat with him and the same fucking thing happened where I couldn't keep fluids in him. I was a little bit worried that he was going to start to get dehydrated.
Right.
So I'm like, I want to get him there to have him be seen by somebody. And sure enough, by the time he got to the ER, he was there for a few hours and then he felt better. And so it sucked ass. But that's the one time it's happened to me to the four times it's happened to her. And I just
always assume everything is a virus.
Yeah.
And so it's like, all right, it's fluid and, you know, whatever kind of medicine to, you know, help him out. But I'm, you know.
It's hard to fight that fear, though, too. It's hard right. when you don't really know.
My kids ruined me, though, on being empathetic. Like, I think literally at this point, because my 10-year-old has cried wolf for years yeah. about things. I am now at the point where my kid could walk up and be like, Dad, my arm came off. And I'd be like, what'd you do?
Well,
like,
Go get it. Get in the car.
Okay. You gotta be kidding me. Like, I feel like I would instantly just be like, stupid. You deserve that.
Yeah,
now you don't I'm have sure an arm. You... That's what you're going to get. And,
good luck.
You know, good luck with the other one, because if you keep this crap up, you lose it too.
Yeah.
Leave me alone. I am playing worse.
You're not even
friends.
A quarter yeah. into your it's, life and you've lost one of your appendages.
Yeah. That is exactly, and it's terrible. Like, people, you know, like, you hear stuff happen to people and you're supposed to get all upset, and it's not that I don't, but, you know, my own kids, stuff happens to them and I'm like, Yeah, they're stupid. Like, and they're not. But it's just
they've ruined me.
Yeah. I'm like, you know, I should be as empathetic as I possibly can with you kids, and you know, and other people will be around them, and they'll be overly so. Like, you know, one of my kids will start crying. What happened? What's wrong? I'm like, no, she's doing that, so yeah. She gets somebody's attention to piss off this one.
Yeah.
And so there, you can't buy into this. We don't play that game at my house. I play the what?
You
the
lady have just fallen. Trap into the weirdest strategic game you're ever.
Yeah, this
play.
Is you're like, don't fall for that. Leave them be. They're sly creatures. They're wily and they'll get you. So don't pay attention to that. I can't stand it. It drives me crazy. So and it makes me feel like I'm horrible. Like I feel a lot of times like I'm Bart Simpson in the episode where he sells his soul to Milhouse.
Yeah,
and I'm just like, yep. I don't, you know, I don't feel things, whatever, but, you know, and then I laugh for an hour. I'm like, well, no, I guess that's technically not true. I think a lot of stuff's funny. So, but, you know, I'm all the time just my kids, especially with my kids, when they tell me they're hurt, they don't feel good, they've done it, they do it as a game. And so I'm like, yeah, I don't play that game. We don't play the I'm hurt game. I need 50 bandages. I have to ban the things I've had to ban at my house are insane. I have to ban Band-Aids. Yeah. Who bans Band-Aids?
Everybody. Yeah. You're not alone. My wife does the same thing. And that's the other thing too that and I guess because I'm trying to think while we're talking about it, it's like, well, what is there a solution? Like, what can we take out of this? And the only thing I could think of is that if you're the parent who's at home all the time, right. I guess you could try and work on being more patient with the person who comes in to tap you out
right.
when things go bad for them. And if you're the person who taps out, like right. you're the one that's doing the tapping out, maybe you could kind of try to be aware of like staying calm and not trying to call them every 5 seconds with something that's wrong and make sure it's a real deal homie feel issue.
Yeah. I try to explain to my wife, I'm like, you know, I have headphones on all the time in my house. All the time. Mm-hmm. I'm listening to podcasts or I'm listening to music all the time. And I love that. And it will put me in a state where I'm not necessarily paying attention to people, but I kind of like that. I mean, mm-hmm. Because if I'm hyper aware that my kids are arguing, then I'll be like, what? You got to be. And so I'll just get in on it.
You need a checkout time.
Yeah. So I just leave them on. And it's amazing that if you're not on them, now, you'll pay the price. You know, I'll go make dinner for 10 minutes and my 5-year-old's been great all day. And then those 10 minutes one day, I was building these cabinets in a playroom. And in those 10 minutes I made dinner, I come in there and she took the Ziploc bag of screws that I had set aside.
Oh, my God.
Dump them out. Not everywhere. Just like, hey, in a pile. She decided she'd place them secretly in holes in the cabinets where the shelves are going to go or maybe behind them. I've already, you know, and I'm like, I'm having to yell at a kid who's been excellent all day except that 10 minutes that I took out to make them dinner.
Yeah.
And it may have been longer, maybe 20 minutes, but it didn't matter. It was long enough for her to go in and ruin my work. And I am like, you got to be kidding me. And she's looking at me with those sad puppy dog eyes like, you know, I'm sorry. My 5-year-old started to do this. I'm terrible. I shouldn't live in this world. She said that the other day. We're like, what? I'm terrible. I'm a terrible child. I shouldn't live in this world. I'm like, where are you getting that from?
Yeah.
But so they ruined me. But I told my wife, I'm like, you know, if you just leave them be, you don't have to put headphones on, but if you just leave them be and like, I'm going to go do this. Go do it, you know, and as long as they're not outside getting run over, other than that, they can't do too much in the house other than, like, screw up something that we own, and that happens daily.
Yeah, so, whether you're watching over them all the time or not, you know.
And I
think you're right. I think there is something to that. I know that you were saying the cosmic aspect of you don't believe, but there is something to that energy that you put out there because what happened was when she went to the ER, the ER doctor to rule out meningitis, instead of asking him if he could put his chin to his chest, he pointed at his pants and goes, what's this right here? What do you have on your pants? And the kid just looked down.
And then
he was like, oh, okay. And got him to talk. And then he goes, hey, what's on that poster over there? Do you know what that is? Like, and then he looks and sees like a puppy or something. Oh, it's a dog. And he could get obviously the guy's smart. He's a fucking ER doctor.
Right.
But also what I just thought of it. I'm like, yes. I go, and I think, here's what I think, is that I try as much as I can to resist that urge to freak out because I don't think it helps anybody. I've seen other people do it, and it doesn't really help. And not that I don't think being aware and concerned and careful doesn't have its merit, but and that's the yin to the yang that my wife and I are for each other, is right. that in this area, like, I freak out about little stuff, about whether or not dinner's going to happen on time, and she doesn't give a shit about that stuff. Okay. But I don't freak out when a kid gets sick. I'm like, just because I just keep thinking in my head, I'm like, pioneer people dealt with far worse things than what we did.
That is what I'm always like, yeah. Like, you got to be kidding me, man. People didn't even have this. Yeah. You know, I'm all the time pulling that crap on my kids. Like, you know, like, they get in a van and they're like, I need you to turn the screen on in the van. And you're like, hey, you know what, turd? I don't even have the key in the ignition.
Yeah, exactly.
You jerk. Well, can you turn it on? I don't even have the car on.
I've done that where you've had a rough day. And you're like, give me a chance to start the car. Yeah. Then you can ask for what you need.
And then it's amazing. It takes them about 10 seconds to just keep at it. And I'm like, nope, nobody's watching anything.
Yeah, then you shut it down.
You are watching the road like me. And suck it. And oh, dude, they are.
Welcome to my world.
Constantly.
Oh, that's fun. Oh, damn it. All right. Well, we're going to start to wrap it up. And we do this every week, Andy. Oh, you listen to the other episodes.
I have listened.
So you know the moment of the week.
You made them. You love them. And sometimes you want to choke the living shit out of them. But occasionally, they give you that one sweet moment. This is that moment. Moment of the week, brought to you by Stitcher, the free app that handles all your podcasting needs without having to sync to your computer. Stream all your favorite podcasts right to your Droid, BlackBerry, or iPhone. Just go to thedadpodcast.com and click on the Stitcher logo on the left-hand side. It's free, people, and they give us money if you do it.
So you do a moment of the week with each of your kids. I'll start off with mine. I was talking... with Jacob over FaceTime, and it was pretty freaking adorable because they start off wanting to talk to you,
right?
And they want to look at you, and then they're like, oh, and they're and you're asking about their day, but then their attention spans are not very long, and so then Natalie had to go take care of Jack, and so he realizes he could see himself in the little tiny picture.
That's all it takes.
So then now something happened with the camera angle, and he realized he could see up his nose. Now what he sees is a little half inch by 3/4 inch picture of him looking up his nose. What I'm getting is full aspect ratio, almost some kind of orthoscopic surgery of his nose. And I took a screenshot, and I'll try and put it up on the Facebook page.
Oh, that's awesome.
But it's just funny because you just see him trying to look up his nose. And it's a moment that was kind of funny with Jack, even though it was more Jacob's doing. So I'm doing this, and he's messing with the phone, and he hit the button that flips it from the front camera to the back camera.
Oh, yeah.
And he's looking around. I go, no, son, you have to hit the button. You have to hit the button, you know. And he moved his hand off the back of the camera just in time for me to see a square-on junk shot.
Oh, nice.
Of my wife changing my younger son's Jack, you know. And So I go, hey, Jack. Like as a laugh, I'm like, oh, hey, Jack. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Because I'm seeing all of them.
All
you know?
Junk, yeah.
And he did this thing. He goes, hi. Like, even though he couldn't see me, it was so adorable. Where he goes, hi.
Oh,
so there's
God.
Mine. So now it's your turn.
That's all. Now, these are supposed to be positive
That's the idea. If you don't have any, I'm not going to judge you. This is a safe place, this podcast.
Positive stories. Just this morning, my daughter is in a program called Girls on the Run.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really good program that they do. I think they do it nationwide, but it basically teaches girls self-worth. And then, of course, how to be physically fit. And when your dad looks like this, you should be in a program called Girls on the Run to teach you that sitting around and being a loaf is a bad idea.
Uh-huh.
So they practice like twice a week. And, you know, they'll have like a lesson.
Is this a nationwide thing or just here, just in case people are interested?
I think it's nationwide. I think you can just go.
Google it?
Yeah, Girls on the Run. They have it at elementary
schools. Just bing
girls.
That shit. Bing
yeah.
it.
And that's right. Bing it. And Jonah Ray will show up and tell you all about it. It's awesome. I'd love that if Jonah Ray would show up every time I bing something. That would make my day. But anyway, they do it for months. They're like, they practice and then they have like a final run. And they usually take part in a run that's already happening. So they did a 5K this morning. And she runs with my sister-in-law because she's not running with me and or my wife. We are not. We are not runners. And so you have to like have a running buddy, and it has to be somebody who. So she did that this morning. They ran in 32 minutes. Did a 5K.
Oh my God!
They did. Yeah, they did really well. I mean, you see people finish in like 15. And you're like, oh, suck it. it, dude.
Yeah.
But yeah, they
still, that's impressive.
They did really good. My daughter is she's fast and she has ADD, and so the only thing that ever keeps her from being the bestest and the fastest is that she's very easily distracted, yeah. And she takes stuff.
Squirrel,
and yeah. She could be
so
like,
she maybe ran a 6K.
She could eat. Yeah, exactly.
From,
she could have easily been like, well, we did go to a whole other town. We were in Cary, went to Apex, came back through Raleigh, and we're done in 32 minutes. But I mean, it's along those lines. So I was super proud of her. And then of course my other daughter dancing, doing the dancing in the
middle.
Oh
yeah, the preschool.
Basically,
so,
being the you know, the unintentional star of the show, and it was just going to be – because it all is just kids getting up going, silver bells, silver bells, I don't know any more words. And then at the end, Feliz Navidad, and she literally broke it down like the New York City Breakers.
Feliz
it was awesome.
Navidad.
Yeah, she was very Jennifer Lopez-ing it up. I loved it. I loved it. It was awesome. So,
that's awesome.
So, yeah, it was. I love my kids. I really do. I will tell people that they are for sale because they are, but I do love them. So it's genuine that
you,
I love my
you
kids.
You will shed a tear or two if they actually are sold.
If I can work a deal, it'll happen. But, yeah it's
– And it'll be a sad transition.
Sad transition, but you know, well
a
worth.
A phase of a transition.
It's just a phase, and then I can really concentrate on the comedy a lot more. You know, with only that one roadblock left.
that one roadblock of probably the source of all your material.
Exactly.
So whoever buys them, you're going to need them to write letters or newsletters.
If you
or
could.
Something.
Can you tell me some stories?
Of what just happened?
Yeah.
Well, that was our show. Thank you so much. Give us a call, 408-228-4911. Also, you could send us an email to show@thedadpodcast.com. As you have already heard, we are going to have a regular pediatrician as a guest on the Dad Podcast. Dr. J will be joining me to answer your questions. So please send those to questions@thedadpodcast.com. And I'm excited for that. You can click through the Amazon banner at thedadpodcast.com. I also want to thank all the paid subscribers that we have and the people who have donated money to help support the show. If you would like to do that, all you have to do is go to thedadpodcast.com, and on the bottom left-hand side, there is a place there that you can become a $2 a month paid subscriber. If everybody who listens to the show did that, that would change my life. I probably would never have to go on the road again, and I could probably do this 5 days a week.
Sweet.
So maybe that's why people don't do it, because they're like, 5 days a week, that would be fucking bullshit. too much for this iPod to handle.
Yeah.
But I do appreciate it a lot. I appreciate all you guys supporting. I appreciate you guys listening. And on behalf of my good friend Andy, who you can find at comicbiga.com. Am I
that
saying that right?
That is correct.
Are you on the Twitter?
I am comicbiga on Twitter as well.
Do you
well.
Tweet a lot? Do you like that?
I'm not a master at that. I do one of those apps that sends it to both your Facebook and your Twitter. And that. So, but, you know, the moment.
I like talking to people on Twitter. Like, and I have a lot of fans that listen to this show and stuff, and that's really fun for me. They send
I'm not going to lie to you. I'm like, and I'm tech savvy, but for some reason on Twitter, I'm like, how does somebody know to see my stuff to retweet me? Like, I know people follow people, and I follow people, but I don't – like, when I go on there, all I ever see are, like, the famous comics that I follow.
There's a thing on your phone. Well, you don't have – well, I'll show you. There's a way to do it that's really cool. I like talking to people. That's
no,
my
I, w-
thing,
I would
so
do
fun.
It if anybody would talk. No one
I will
ever
show
talk
you.
To me
I will
Twitter.
Show you. I will talk to you on Twitter. We're going to talk. We have so much stuff that's happened. Are you on Facebook as well?
I'm
you want people
Facebook
to find you there?
Well.
Facebook.com/ComicBigA?
Oddly enough, yes, that is it, ComicBigA. You know, but if you go to my webpage, you can get to all that other stuff. I'm on YouTube. Andy Forrester is my name. If you Google me, in theory, you should
go
find
see him
me.
On the road. He's a very funny guy, cool dude, and awesome. Definitely going to be on the show regularly, if not all the goddamn time.
Sweet.
So, on behalf of my good friend, Comic Big A, Andy, this is Justin Worship saying, "Stay frosty."